In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. We celebrate your greatness. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We ask that you bring illumination in your word, that we might find the pathways that you have ordained for us to set our feet. Strengthen the weak. Lift the hands that hang down. Make paths for our feet, that we might navigate on the very pavement of destiny. Release the blessings in your storehouse on the nation of Botswana, and glorify yourself in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. Turn your Bible quickly to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We will attempt a Bible study for the next 35 minutes. And then we will go into a session of prayer. Now, that person that is praying uncontrollably, you can go to the back of the hall and ventilate your spirit. But this moment is for the Word of God. So if you feel or sense an overflowing river of supplication, you will do well to go to the right place. There are places that you can retreat into to ventilate the flow that is coming from your spirit. But we must attend to the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4. I hope the ushers know what they are doing. I just hope they know what they are doing. Amen. All right, let's begin from verse 11, Ephesians chapter 4. Stay with me for the next 35 minutes. Ensure that your attention is not broken. We'll get to some point where the Holy Ghost will take the stage. And he gives some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Can you advise the ushers to take that lady far away from the venue so that we can attend to the Word of God? And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There is a destination that the education is supposed to bring us into. All right? Now, I'd like you to notice a few things. The first thing I'd like you to notice in the presentation in this scripture is that whereas it is customary to think that the people that are involved in the work of the ministry are such people that are designated to function in the capacity of ministry gift offices like prophet, pastor, teacher, apostle. This scripture seems to suggest that the role of the fivefold minister is to provide education so that the saints will be able to engage in the work of the ministry. So you see, there are various anointings that God makes available. And every anointing that God makes available affords the custodian, the carrier of that anointing, to enter into the economy of some dimensions of Christ. So this privilege that God affords us in His grace to be able to tap into dimensions of the workings and the office of the Christ causes us to experience accelerated growth in the things of the Spirit pertaining to the emphasis of our calling. And so on the strength of that equipment, God is expecting us to provide education to the members of the body of Christ so that they can be equipped enough to partake in the work of the ministry. So the concept of the work of the ministry as revealed in Ephesians chapter 4 is an assignment that is designed for the entire body of Christ. It is to this end that God manifests His commitment in making grace available so that the fivefold ministers can ascend in God sufficiently to have what to teach the people of God. Second thing that we can deduce from the reading is that the fivefold ministers are supposed to be engaged in a specialized kind of service delivery that is summed up in the word edification, the edification of the body of Christ, the edification. Now, that word edification is derived from the word edifice. And an edifice is a very mighty structure, a mighty building. In order for us to function maximally as the body of Christ, we'll need to build a mighty fortress of spiritual knowledge. A mighty fortress, because the work of the ministry happens to be one of those things that you cannot do if you are not adequately educated. Part of the challenges we have in ministry on the continent of Africa is that the average minister of the gospel has not been thoroughly raised, thoroughly educated. We do not yet understand the concepts of the Bible. For instance, If we intend to summarize the entire Bible from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation to find out the spirit of the book, you will find that the subject of the Bible, the main thread of truth that is in the Bible, is that it is the book of the kingdom of God. It unveils the administrative procedure by which God exerts his influence and his authority. So you will find out, according to the scriptures, that the mystery of creation is God, and the mystery of God is Christ, and the mystery of Christ is the church. So if you want to understand God, then you will need to have an interface with Christ. So without Christ, you cannot understand God, because the mystery of God is Christ. It is the office of the Christ that is the administrative platform that is saddled with the responsibility of realizing the purposes of God. So until you understand what the Christ is administering, it will be difficult for you to perceive God's eternal purpose. There is an edifice of spiritual knowledge that is supposed to come from fivefold ministers to the body of Christ, so that each and every one of us will see the vision that God is attempting to implement by the revelation of the truths that are enshrined in the book called the Bible. If we do not have sufficient education, the texture of our service delivery to our generation is going to be deficient, and our capacity to undo the entanglements that our nations have from the kingdom of darkness will be limited. There is an edifice of spiritual truth that is supposed to come from the fivefold ministers to equip the body of Christ. Because the reason why falsehood thrives is because truth is absent. When truth begins to thrive, falsehood will die a natural death. The third thing we can deduce from this reading is that the efforts of discipleship and education has a goal. The goal of the education that is supposed to come to the body of Christ is to bring us to a point where we arrive at the unity of the faith. The unity of the faith cannot be achieved except each and every one of us is built up to know the Holy Spirit personally. It is in the realm of the Spirit that we are going to find the kind of harmony that is going to unite the body of Christ globally. So there is a build-up in terms of education. There is a build-up in terms of practice and procedure to bring us to the point where each and every one of us knows the Holy Ghost personally. When we know the Holy Spirit personally, you will find out that our denominations will no longer matter. Our differences will no longer matter. Everyone will be able to discern if a certain preacher is preaching from the belly of God or not. At that point, discernment will be maximal, and falsehood will be blotted out. If you are still with me, say amen. And the reason why we are doing what we are doing is because we understand by the Spirit that this is Africa's season of recovery. And so there's a new voice that is coming into the terrain. Yes, because God is attempting to begin to emphasize the present revelation position of the Spirit to bring the continent out of ruins and to pedestal her in the place of favor that God has ordained for her. In view of the above, therefore, we would like to take a leap to look at the scriptures to find out the ministry of the believer. If it is true that the fivefold ministers are supposed to equip the saints so that they can do the work of the ministry, then we need to see what exactly the ministry of the believer is. Are you there? So that if That line of service delivery is absent in the territory. It will be evident that the fivefold ministers in that territory have not been operating according to the practice and procedure that is contained in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. According to my script here, we have there are nine basic ministries of the believer. Because this is a morning service and not an evening service, we will look at one. When we see one, at least it will open the door for you. You can now study to find out the rest. But I will give you a guideline, just in case you are interested in studying further, a guideline that will reveal the pathway of navigation. Come with me quickly to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Now, listen to me. That's why I said, give me your attention, just for a few minutes. Romans, chapter 12. I was told that a certain brother from Zambia, he's been traveling since when? He just arrived this morning. Where's that brother? You will not go back empty-handed. In Jesus' name. Romans chapter 12. You see, I will need to explain to us the difference between a gift. Are you with me? You're not with me. I will need to explain to us the difference between a gift of the Spirit and a gift of grace. Two different things. It will also interest you to know that you cannot serve God except He gives you a gift. The law of service to the divine requires that you be equipped with a gift before you can serve His will. In your natural capacity, in your natural human wiring, you are insufficient to be able to bring accurate service to God. So if you are going to serve God in such a way that He will accept your service, He will need to endow you with a gift. I know that when Theophilus held the microphone in worship and prayer, even those that have not been praying for the past 2 months, that their spirits are dry, they found some form of ventilation and were able to ride on the torrent of grace that was opened up into this atmosphere on the strength of his efforts. You see, you cannot just be Theophilus. He has a gift. It is that gift that empowers him to do the kind of stuff that he does in bringing service to the body of Christ. So if you are going to serve God, then you must of necessity receive a gift from God. Therefore, it is needful for us to define the types of gifts that are available. One type of gift, one category of gift, is the gift that the Holy Spirit brings at the spur of the moment. That gift does not remain with you. It only comes when the Holy Spirit decides to activate it. The Holy Spirit is the one that is in custody of the gift. Alright? So, when the Holy Spirit begins to operate in your life, then that gift can be functional. And when He stops operating, He packs the gift away and He takes it away. So, it's not something that you live with. It's not something that you live by. It's something that comes when the Holy Spirit decides to unpack the vesture of gifts that He has available in His storehouse. But you see, the gifts of grace are gifts that are linked to the economy of your regenerated human spirit. It is not something that comes and goes. It is something that is in your vessel permanently. Are you there? For instance, the Bible says in the book of 1 John, chapter 2, I believe, verse 20, is it 20? It says, we have an unction from the Holy One. Are you there? And we know all things. We have what? An unction. He didn't say you are going to have. It says you have. So that unction that you have received from the Holy One is what we call the knowledge faculty. Is the knowledge faculty. If God wants to hand out to you spiritual knowledge, it is through the facility of that unction that you have received from the Holy One. I don't know how many of us are here. Maybe you were praying in tongues, no prayer points, just praying in tongues. And then suddenly, you now receive the prayer point. Has it happened to you before? You just felt like, what you should pray for is this matter. Meanwhile, you did not come to the prayer room with that prayer point, but the prayer point came out of the Spirit of God. Now, the reason why you were able to know that prayer emphasis is because the unction switched on. So the moment the unction switched on, you had access to spiritual knowledge. And if you cannot access spiritual knowledge, it means you cannot partake of spiritual warfare. Because spiritual warfare is fought by spiritual knowledge. And the Bible says that we have what? An unction. So that's a gift that you have received to be able to access spiritual knowledge. And that gift is not coming. That gift is already available to you. There are some dimensions of gifts that are inbuilt, like softwares that are downloaded through the Holy Spirit into your human spirit. Those ranges of gifts are referred to in Scripture as the gifts of grace. And don't confuse them with the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit will come upon you and operate and depart from you. But the gifts of grace, they are with you forever. So there is a difference between the anointing that comes upon you and the anointing that is within you. The one that is within you is constant. The one that comes upon you comes when the Holy Spirit wills. Are you with me now? I say, are you here now? For instance, the grace by which I teach, this grace is with me permanently. If you wake me up from sleep, I can teach, I will just sit you down and we can do a 7-hour teaching because it is installed capacity. It's a software that is downloaded into my spiritual system. Do you understand what I'm talking about? But if you, maybe you saw people got healed and all of that and you want to get healed and you wake me up and say there's someone sick here. If the gift of healing is not in operation, okay, as I'm preaching to you now, the gift is not in operation yet. But somewhere in my administration, the gift of healing will come into operation and people will start getting healed. And in fact, but it's not in operation now, so I can't minister healing now. As much as you want to be healed, I'm not empowered to minister healing now. If I go in the flesh and begin to minister, nobody will be healed. Because the grace that accomplishes healing is not yet activated. Are you there? So, in view of the gifts of the Spirit, I myself will need to wait for the Holy Ghost to open that chamber of spiritual possibility before I can walk in it. But for the gifts of grace, they are installed in my spirit. Alright? And I can function in it any moment, any time. Get that? Alright, so let me take you to the book of Romans chapter 12. Then I will expound a little more. If I notice that you are following, I will increase the syllabus. But if there is a challenge, and I have an instrument, a barometer, by which I measure your level of comprehension. So you don't need to tell me you are comprehending. The barometer has readings all by itself. In the book of Romans chapter 12, hallelujah. Are you there in Romans 12? So I'm going to show you a catalog of the gifts of grace. And if my memory serves me right, you are going to see 9 of such gifts. Alright? Which reveals the 9 possible gifts of the believer. So each of these gifts reveals a tributary of a ministry line, of a service line. And we are going to expound upon it with great detail as the Lord gives us the grace. If you are still with me, say amen. All right. Romans chapter 12, verse number 6. Having then gifts, can you see underlying gifts? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Can you see that these gifts are according to grace? So underline gifts if your Bible is not borrowed. And underline grace. I was doing a teaching sometime and I was trying to make my audience understand the grounds upon which one believer is different from another believer. So even though we are all believers, I assure you we are not the same. And your experience is not a doctrine to me, because the dealings that God has given you is different from the dealings that God has given me. So the only thing that qualifies to be doctrine is that which is captured in the scriptures, which Jesus spoke about, the apostles re-echoed, and it was captured in their lifestyle. That is what has the authority to become doctrine. Because believers in every age are supposed to function that way. You there? Good. But I can have experiences. And maybe the experiences are associated with the office that God, through His mercy, has assigned me. So my experiences do not qualify to be doctrine. My experiences can be testimonies that can encourage someone. Are you there? But the scale of measurement in New Testament Christianity is the person of the Christ Himself. I pray that point goes in. Amen. So the Bible reveals that we have one of the ways in which we are different from each other is our constituents of grace. If you don't have, just like I don't have the kind of grace that Theophilus has, so I cannot do what Theophilus does, you will find out that in the heart of God, what God wanted to prosecute was a body that manifested in diversity. The strength of the body of Christ is diversity. The devil doesn't have sufficient administration to manage diversity. And so, if the devil wants to manage a generation, he groups people. The drunks, the adulterers, the fornicators. He deals with people in terms of groups because he is limited in his administration. But God's administration is so bogus that he can deal with you uniquely as an individual. So the body of Christ is colored by diversity. And the grace you have is different from the grace that I have. So the ground for competition does not exist. And that's why the Bible says that they that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. In order for you to measure temperature, for instance, we have 7 units of measuring temperature. I know you know the Celsius. I know you know Fahrenheit. I know you know Kelvin. The average scholar knows just 3. But there are 7 units of measuring temperature. And each unit is grossly different from the other unit. Let's assume that the measurements that God is using to measure Apostle Francis is in Kelvin. And the measurement is using to measure my own work is in Celsius. There is no basis of comparison because the idea of the body is a body of diversity. May the Lord give you understanding. The Bible says, having therefore gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, it means that We are different in grace. Because we are different in grace, we are going to be different in performance. Because we are different in performance, we are going to be different in outlook. God has bestowed upon the body of Christ the possibility of difference. And our differences is what makes for our corporate strength. You will notice that in marriage, the two individuals involved most often are different. If the marriage works, then the people are different. Because the idea is that God is hoping to complement each other. He doesn't put everything in one personnel. That's how God is. So that you will need to reach out to the resources in the other individual to make up for your losses. That's how both of you become partners of one another. Are you there? As you travel along in destiny, you will now discover that a little of that which your wife has will now be imparted to you. And a little of that which you have in excess will also be imparted to her. That journey to arrive at that place where you mix and intermingle is the journey of the two becoming one. You see, it's not a miracle. Are you there? No miracle takes place at the altar. The Bible says the two shall is a process where both of you will mingle and a point of balance will be created, and your differences will no longer be distractions but complements. Are you still there? Diversity is the strength of a union. So the Bible says that we have differences according to what? The grace that is given unto us. So the subject that we are dealing with here is the subject of the gifts that we have on the account of the grace of God. So these are not gifts of the Spirit. Like I told you, in the area of the gifts of grace, these ones are installed capacity. It is with you even now, and it will be with you even in eternity. Because that's your constitution as ordained by God. Are you still with me? Now, I need to explain further by quoting the popular scripture that says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. If you click on the did you convey my heartfelt message? Yield to God. In Jesus' name. Alright. So as I was saying, amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. If you read that scripture from the Greek, you will find out that the translators had a problem. And they indeed had a problem because of the limitation of English language, seeing that Greek language is deeper and it lends itself more to expression And that is not the case with the English language. So there were meanings of that truth that were lost in translate during translation. The original text reads thus: if any man be in Christ, he is a new species of man. If we have a scientist in this place that understands botanical classifications and taxonomy, you will find that orange is citrus. Huh? Orange is citrus. But we have different species of citrus. We have citrus paradisi. We have citrus limon. We have citrus nobilis. We have citrus aurelifolia. We have... So these are species of citrus. Are you there? So the Bible is saying when you gave your life to Christ, you became a species on your own. Are you following me? That means, you know, lemon and grape are different. But all of them are in the orange family. So we are all in the human race. But you see, you are in your own different class. That's what I'm trying to. Because we are not the same. We are similar. So the Bible says, having therefore gifts differing according to what? So one of the items of our difference is the grace that is given unto us. Okay. So let's go on with the reading. And then you are going to see 9 possible ministries that are assigned to the believers on the strength of the grace that is given unto you. If we have time, I will take you on a journey of self-discovery. The things that you need to press into to know about yourself in order for you to be effectively equipped to discharge your ministry, which is colored by the grace that is given unto you. Okay. Whether prophecy. See, the first ministry that was mentioned here is prophecy. And just like I've been laboring to educate us, prophecy in this context is different from the gift of prophecy in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to take time to explain this kind of prophecy. Is that clear? So prophecy as a gift of grace is different from prophecy as the gift of the Spirit. Are you following what I'm talking about here? Alright, so one of it is prophecy. You say, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. We'll come to that because this morning I want to dwell on this prophecy. Or ministry. The word ministry here from the Greek is service. In fact, better put, it means a waiter. Waiter. You know, when you... How many of you have ever been to a restaurant to eat before? And then you meet a guy there called the waiter. So the moment you come, the waiter approaches you and hands out to you a menu. And then you look through the menu and make your pick on what you want to eat. And then the waiter is deployed to ensure that the order you place is adequately furnished. You see, are you there? Even if you had not come to the restaurant, the waiter will still be there. His basic assignment is to wait. But he does something else when you come. And even though you refuse to come, he's still there doing what? Waiting. That's the word there, waiting. A waiter. Someone that is not deployed for activity except another thing happens. And in this category of waiters, the intercessor is in this category. Because the intercessor is not released, deployed into any activity until he has heard from. So these are broad strokes. What I'm reading out here are broad strokes. And there are many categories of ministries that are under the broad headings. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Okay, so number two is ministry, or the one that is waiting for a situation for him to begin to deploy service. Or ministry, let us wait. You see the word wait there? Wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. This teaching is different from the office of a teacher. Are you there? If you go to the requirement for elders in the book of 1 Timothy, when Paul was unveiling the requirement for eldership in the body of Christ, one of the things he mentioned was that an elder must be apt to teach. An elder must be ready to teach. It means that if you cannot be interrupted on the street with a question about the Christian faith, and you will sit the person down without preparation, and you bring the education that is needed and clear the person's doubt, you do not yet qualify to be an elder. And the elder we are talking about here, there is no mentioning whether this elder is a teacher or this elder. Everyone that must ascend into eldership must have the ability to be ready to teach. In fact, it was even worse in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, in order for you to be a husband, a father of a home, you must be an eloquent teacher of the philosophy of the Torah. Are you following me? I don't want to. Let me leave it there. Do you know that thing that happened in the book of Luke where the Bible says that the parents of Jesus left Jesus back in Jerusalem? You've read that before. You really know what was happening there? Alright, so in Hebrew culture, in order for you to be declared a man, are you there? You will go and study the Torah. You study it like a project. And then you come for one of the feasts and book with the doctors of the law. The doctors of the law will put a panel, will sit and ask you questions from any part of the Torah. And if you cannot answer convincingly, you are not proclaimed a man. And if you are not proclaimed a man, no one in Israel is permitted to give you his daughter to marry. You understand what I'm talking about? So what happened that the parents forgot Jesus was that Jesus went and he logged in that he wanted to become a man at 12. Without their knowledge. So they kept those guys that were going to stand before the panel. They kept them back while the parents left. You're not with me. I don't want to digress. Because if I digress, it's too sweet. We will not come back here. So when the parents came back, they saw that Jesus was asking the doctors of the law questions and providing answers for them. Excuse me. That is not why the panel was set up. The panel was not set up for contestants to ask the doctors questions. The panel was set up for the doctors to ask the contestants questions. So what happened was that Jesus answered all their questions and then asked them questions that the doctors could not answer, and he himself now answered them. So Jesus became a man at the age of 12. And when he was declared a man, even his mother was no longer qualified to look upon his nakedness. That's how solid the educational structure of Israel is, so that every father can effectively disciple his household. I want to stop there. So the issue of being ready to teach is a proof of eldership. So in the household of God, if you have the capacity to teach on any subject whatsoever, without preparation, we meet you on the road, it means that you have stayed in the scriptures long enough to begin to think in scripture. That's when you qualify to become an elder in God's family. Let's continue with the reading. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. So the Christian that is in government is fulfilling a ministry. It's called the ministry of ruling. And there is a balance. There is a subscription. There is a suggestion on how you should rule. He said, you rule with what? Oh, you didn't see it. Are you looking at the Bible at all? How do you rule? Are you afraid? Let's try again. How do you rule? How do you give? Okay, this is a proof that you are not following. So, in fact, the reading has stopped, has ended there. When you are not following, we cut the syllabus. It means you are not, you don't hunger for it. You will labor in the wilderness for a while. When you now begin to hunger for it, God will now make provision for how to meet that hunger in the days to come. Let us start with number one, because we are talking about the ministry of the believer. And according to this list, number one is called prophecy. Are you with me? The Greek word for prophecy in that scripture is prophetia, which means to speak forth. Means to speak forth. Now, listen. Are you with me? Now, first of all, in order for me to explain in detail, I will need to unveil to you what exactly the gift of prophecy is, the gift of the Spirit called prophecy. In the gift of the Spirit called prophecy, and the gift of the Spirit called prophecy is under the category of gifts called the gifts of inspiration. Inspirational gifts. So, in the gifts of the Spirit, we have the revelatory gifts, we have the power gifts, and we have the inspirational gifts. Now, in the inspirational gifts, the Holy Spirit begins to inspire someone in the language of his thought. So, if you think in Swahili, the Holy Spirit will inspire you in Swahili. Meanwhile, when I came to Botswana, there's a language I hear everybody speaking. I don't know that. Does it mean every... Yeah? What's it called? All right. So, does it mean every Botswana understands that language? Okay. I just wanted to find out. Because where I come from, we have 1,000 and something languages. And we had to develop an abridged form of English language that even the market woman can understand. May the Lord give you understanding. I see why you are united, because you speak the same language. May the unity of Botswana be strengthened. You need to be a politician to understand what I just said now. All right. So, as I was trying to explain to us, the gift of prophecy is an inspirational gift, and God inspires you. And in inspiration, what happens is that the Holy Spirit speaks into your thoughts. Right? So he speaks into your thoughts. The anointing arrests your thoughts. It takes over your thoughts. And then you begin to hear the thoughts of God in your heart. Now, the proof, and it is, as you are hearing the thoughts of God, you are speaking. How you will know that inspiration has stopped is when the person stopped talking. So if you say, I am the Lord, I'm here to encounter you, I'm here to visit you, and then you stop. Anything you say after that is not the inspiration. Did you get that? It should flow. The reading must be sustained. If it cuts, it means the inspiration has. Those of us, we know this practically. The inspiration has cut. So if you are prophesying and I'm there, and you move on a certain time signature, and you stop, and you pick up again, we know that inspiration has stopped. The other one you are saying came from you. Do you get it? Oh, okay, you don't get it. Okay, let's leave. So, you see, that is the gift of prophecy. But the gift of grace called prophecy is the ability to pick from God. Are you there? And the time you pick from God and the time you speak what you pick from God are different. In the gift of grace. In the gift of prophecy, the time you pick from God and the time you speak is the same. But in the gift of grace, you can pick from God and then speak what you pick from God another time. Do you get that? All right. So the idea that we have here is the idea of a mouthpiece. Come with me to the book of Exodus chapter 7, verse number 1. Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. And I want your Bible open before I read. Because most of you don't read your Bible. So when we come to church, we need to afflict you with the task of having to open your Bible. All right, Exodus 7, 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy mouthpiece. You see, when God was asking Moses to go speak to Pharaoh the things that he has told him, are you there? I hope you know when God spoke to Moses, there was a difference in time between when God spoke to Moses and when Moses went to deliver the message to Pharaoh. So this is an example of prophecy as a gift of grace. You get that? So, but Moses began to complain that he was a stammerer, he was not mighty in word. So God now created another ministry for another man, which is Aaron. So Aaron will be the spokesperson. Next. The mouthpiece. But he will be the receptacle. The one that downloads the things from God. And then Aaron will become the vessel that is used to speak it. So this gift of grace called prophecy, the metaphor for that gift is Aaron in this scripture. Do you get it? Say, and Aaron shall be thy mouthpiece. You get that? So, the gift of prophecy in this regard requires you receiving from God, Moses, and then you speaking the counsel of God. That is what? Aaron. So, it's Moses plus Aaron in this scripture that equals to the gift of grace called prophecy. So, God needs a mouthpiece. Do you realize that? You know, when you move around, even in this auditorium right now, some people just lost their jobs. Some other people just had a miscarriage. Some unfortunate things just happened to people in this congregation not too long ago. Okay? Do you know how it will look like if you walk up to a woman that just had a miscarriage and you said, the Lord said that I should speak comfortably to you, that your loss will be recovered? Do you know how much that will do to that woman in that condition? Are you with me? So, if God, by any means, doesn't have a mouthpiece, there are dimensions of encouragement that will be shut out. That ministry of encouragement will not be available just because God could not find what? A mouthpiece. So the question is this: when last did you hear from God about someone else? You received something. Okay, you are not answering me. Now, let me show you from the Bible that this, because somebody might say, I may not have that grace now. Didn't you say that the gift that we can wield is according to the grace that we have received from God? Unfortunately for you, the gift of prophecy in this wise is available to every believer in Jesus Christ. So we should be prophetic people. As you are going out to the office, oh my God, may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. Part of the quarrel that God has with us is that he no longer has a mouthpiece. He no longer has a mouthpiece. I need to show you a scripture quickly in the book of Matthew. Are you there, Matthew? Give me some time. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 16 to 20. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought what ye shall speak. Are you there? For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. And what's it like? For it is not ye that speak, but what? The Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. This is the experience, the explanation of what we are talking about. An occasion where the Spirit of your Father has the opportunity to what? To speak through you. In order for you to function in this gift of grace called prophecy, which has two parts, Moses and Aaron. You still remember? The Moses part is the receiving part. And then the Aaron part is the speaking part. You get that? So we are going to do a lecture on Moses, the Moses part, and then a lecture on the Aaron part, and then I'm going to shut down. Then you will study the rest. The rest you'll find in the book of Romans chapter 12 from verse 6 where I read. You find all the other ministries there. Then you can study along those lines. Do you know that giving is a ministry? Even though we all as believers have the responsibility to give, and we are encouraged to give what is good, because we need to take responsibility of their administrative requirement to bring ministry to the territory. Alright? So we need to take responsibility. So giving is encouraged, giving is good. But there are people whose capacity to give is not natural. They have received a grace in the area of giving. And I have that grace. So I know what I'm talking about. I have that grace. I have that grace. There are many people today that are graduates in my country because of the commitment to that grace. That would never have had the opportunity to go to school. So I know that grace. And the Bible says that when you have that grace, because there is a temptation for you to want to prove to the people that you are important, that your giving has already been corrupted, because you must administer that grace and model that grace with utmost simplicity so that you do not dehumanize the people that God is sending you to help. Now, some people, are you there? Are you there? An abomination took place sometimes in Nigeria, where preachers will come up, get the less privileged people, get a camera, and then be giving them rice and be filming it, giving them scholarship and be filming it. Meanwhile, there's a stiff regulation in the scripture that covers that line of ministry. That when you are giving to the less privileged, your left hand should not know what your right hand is doing. And many people on the continent of Africa that were devoid of understanding and knowledge began to hail that example as a true portrait of the dynamics of Christ. And I wept soberly. Because any time we cast the scriptures aside and have a position that is different from the scriptures, we are already falling. Are you still with me? All right, so in this our teaching, we'll need to look at the Moses side, which is the receptacle side, and then the Aaron side, which is the vocal side. You got that? All right, so I need to define your receptacle. Can we go to the book of John, chapter 3? Your receptacle. What is the organ? What are the avenues from whence you receive from God? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Are you following me? Don't worry, you understand. Go to John. John chapter 3, beginning from verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Are you there? Now, in my own opinion, verse 1 is too detailed. It's too detailed in the sense that this man being introduced in verse 1 can be considered as Nicodemus, can be considered as a ruler, can be considered as a Jew, can be considered as a Pharisee, can be considered as a man. That's the introduction is too much. A man, a Pharisee, a ruler, a Jew, and what? Nicodemus. So he has a lot of laurels. He's one of the doctors of the law. He formulates the belief system that shapes the culture. He's a member of the Sanhedrin. So he has a lot of laurels. And he could be considered from various perspectives. But unfortunate for him, when Jesus wanted to address him, there was only one way Jesus could address him. Jesus addressed him as a man. Because before he became Nicodemus, he was first a man. Before he became a Pharisee, he was first a man. Before he became a ruler, he was first a man. Because Jesus said, except a man be born again. And what Jesus was telling the guy was that you were not properly born. So since you have a problem with how you were born as a man, anything you build on that foundation, the Pharisee is wrong. The ruler is wrong. Every other thing is wrong. We need to fix the issue of your being a man. You will need to be born again first in order for you to be a proper man. That was the discussion. Are you following? Are you there? What was taking place in that scripture looks like an accreditation. Because it was only one man that came to meet Jesus. But when he came to meet Jesus, he told Jesus that we know. It means some people sent him. We know. We, the members of the Sanhedrin, we know that you are a teacher come from God. Right? We are also teachers, but we don't know where we come from. But you, we know that what? You are a teacher come from God. Because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So those were the advances of the Sanhedrin to bring accreditation to the ministry of Jesus. And Jesus punctuated him by saying, you were not properly born, so you cannot accredit me. Are you following the discussion? Now, Jesus said what I would not have said. If it's me, I would just say, you see, we've been teaching in the countryside, and we were hoping that you guys will come and accredit us and say good words about our efforts. And unfortunately, you came in the night, because this guy came in the night. Have you ever seen any accreditation ceremony that took place in the night? I was expecting Jesus to say that. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The reason why I brought you to this scripture is to, because of one word, see. Jesus' definition of what it means to be born again is that when indeed you are born again, your receptacle will become activated and you'll be able to perceive what is taking place in the kingdom of God. He gave us an organic explanation, an experiential explanation of what it means to be born again. Are you there? Or you're not there? Meanwhile, in the Greek, what it reads is that to perceive by use of senses. Except a man be born again, he cannot perceive by the use of senses the things of the kingdom of God. So this is the scripture that supports the fact that we have spiritual senses just like we have physical senses. Are you there? Do you still remember when you were in the womb at 9 months, you still had these eyes, but you could not see with them because they were not meant for the womb. The gift of prophecy, according to grace, you must know your receptacle. You get it? Moses and Aaron. This is Moses. I'm still talking Moses. So you have 4 spiritual senses, and your receptacle is the organ that houses your spiritual senses. And your 4 spiritual senses. So I need to show you your 4 spiritual senses. So that when you have any experience related to what I want to teach now, you will know that God is giving you a message. Because God wants you to be his mouthpiece. He wants you to speak for him. He wants you to convey his mind. So that people that are discouraged can receive encouragement. People that are in captivity can be elevated. People that are drowning can be brought out of depression. People that are captured and by anxiety can be ushered into the land that flows with milk and honey. So you have 4 spiritual senses, and these are the organs through which you perceive the things of God. Your first spiritual sense is what we call the knowing of revelation. Write it down. The knowing of revelation. Now, I want to support that with the book of John chapter 13. The knowing of revelation. That's your first spiritual sense. The knowing of revelation. John chapter 13, beginning from verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew... Okay, let me wait for you to turn. John 13, 1. Are you there? All right. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father has given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. I like us to underline all the times you see new knowing in those verses, from verse 1 to verse 3. In verse 1, the Bible says that Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world to the Father. That's the knowing of revelation. He knew that his time had come. In verse 3, the Bible says, Jesus, knowing that the Father has given all things into his hands. In verse 3, the Bible says, Jesus knew that he had come from God, and Jesus knew that he was going back to God. That's the knowing of revelation. 70% of the communication of God is in this form. It's a knowing that you know, you don't know how you know, but yet you know. Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world. And having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Jesus knew that his Father had given all things into his hands. He knew that he was come from God. He knew that he was going back to God. That's the knowing of revelation. And I need to ask you, what do you know? What do you know that is not from your books? What do you know that is not from statistics? What do you know that is not from the news about yourself? He knew. Even if you persecute him, he knew. You can take away the coat of many colors, but you cannot take what someone knows by the Holy Ghost. I don't have time to take you to the book of Romans, and I will show you many aspects of your Christian life that you cannot experience except you have a knowing of revelation. That's your first spiritual sense, a knowing of revelation. That's the only reason why you can successfully survive persecution. Because when you try to persecute a man that knows, you are wasting your time. Your efforts on the person's life cannot take away what was handed out to the person by the Holy Ghost. You can strip him of his car, strip him of his house. You can empty his bank account, just like they did to Joseph. Took away the coat of many colors, sold him into slavery, but there was something they could never take away. That which came from God. And time proved that he was telling the truth. And everybody that ganged up against him was a liar. So let God be true, and let every man be a liar. The knowing of revelation. 70% of God's communication is in that form. You just know. You just know. Are you there? Second, spiritual sense. Second spiritual sense is what we call the hearing of faith. You know that one, so I will not teach it. The hearing of faith. When you hear the voice of God in your spirit. So it's the hearing of faith. Huh? Meanwhile, you must understand that the knowing of revelation is accounts for 70% of God's speaking. The second one is what the hearing of faith. Do you still remember the story that was told about Peter in the book of Acts chapter 10? He went to the housetop to pray. And he had a vision. And the vision was explained. And after he had seen the vision, the Bible says that he heard a voice. That's the hearing of faith. Because the voice was not audible. The voice was in his heart. And what did the voice say? Kill and eat. That's the hearing of faith. It's not an audible voice. It's the voice of the Spirit. And it's by faith that you can hear it. Okay? That's number two, the hearing of faith. Then number three is what we call the sight of affection. Sight of affection, that is in the book of John chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. John chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Open up. 5 more minutes and I'm done with the teaching. Then we'll do a 15 minutes practical so that we can demonstrate what we are teaching. After the 15 minutes practicals, we'll now I'll pray for the sick and miracles will begin to take place. It will take place even till after the meeting. When people are going home, miracles will still be taking place. Yeah. Are you there in the book of John chapter 5 verse 20? It said, "For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth." Can you see? That's what we call the sight of affection. The Father loveth the Son, and the proof of the Father's love for the Son is that he shows the Son the things that he himself is doing. How many of you have read the scripture that says, "Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee greater mighty things that thou knowest not"? The reason why you pray is because you want answers. So God said, "Call, I'll give you your answers. But beyond your answers, I want to show you stuff. I'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not." So if God wants to take you out of the box, what he does is that he gives you a vision. And that vision is not customary to your frame of oppression. If he wants to get you to contemplate something that is not consistent with your pathway, because he says he will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. For instance, God showed me that I was a preacher when I was born in Samara. It didn't add up. I will not naturally begin to think of myself as a preacher because of the impediment I had. But God was showing me something outside of the box. That's what God does. If he wants to move you, he shows you stuff. It's a proof of God's love. The sight of affection. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him the things that himself doeth. Is that correct? Are you there? Now, so, what I'm trusting God for during this service is the activation of those senses so that you can become alive unto God. Your fourth spiritual sense is what we call the taste of discernment. The taste of discernment. Do you know that it is possible, if you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and someone is preaching falsehood, you will just know? Yes. That's called the taste of discernment. But the Bible says we should taste and see that the Lord is good. You can actually taste things. You can sample things. If you are in spiritual health, you can sample things and know that God is not here. Meanwhile, everybody's jumping. Everyone is shouting. But you sampled it from inside. The witness that you have received is that God is not here. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Don't cast away that sign that comes from inside. It's a means by which God makes you test things through the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, "Test all things and hold fast to that which is good." Everything should be tested. It's only that which is good that you hold fast and make a part of your life. Cut off everything that is not good. That's one of the protective gears that God makes available to the believer for him to be able to test things. You get that? So this is your receptacle. The knowing of revelation, the hearing of faith, the sight of affection, and the taste of the standard. So that's Moses, the receptacle part. So I'm going to stop there. Because we're already Aaron, which is the speaking part. There is a surgery that God will do on you so that you can speak for him. But we're out of time. We need to do the practicals so that I can pray for the sick. Are you still with me? But how many of you want us to continue? The hands that are up is not equivalent to half of this number. So it means you are saying we'll stop. So we stop. Hallelujah. Are you there? Oh, Let's try again. How many of you want us to continue? Let's give you a question. Oh, okay. What's happening? Ask him what he's looking for. Are there ushers in this auditorium? All right, let's move on. If we want to talk about the mouthpiece of God, then we'll need to... Why are you so interested in distractions? Oh my God. If it's true, you don't want it. Now, we'll pray for 5 minutes. We'll just pray for 5 minutes so that we can ascend into the heavens. And then I will show you some practicals in this matter that I'm teaching, so that you can understand that what I'm saying is true. Because the kingdom of God is not in words. The kingdom of God is in power. Yep. Okay. There's a young man that is talking to me today. He said, I should go back to the Bible. So, if we talk about being a mouthpiece of God, the example of that is Jeremiah. But we'll see what God did to Jeremiah that made him God's mouthpiece. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee as a prophet to the nations, as a mouthpiece to the nations. Verse 6. Then said I, Ah Lord, behold, I cannot speak, because the issue here is about speaking. I cannot speak because I am a child. So God now begins to deal with this man on the issue of speaking. Are you there? But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt what? Speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, said the Lord. Now, I know you didn't see that. One of the assurances that God gave Jeremiah is that I will be with you to deliver you. What's the meaning of that? It means that on the account of speaking for me, sometimes you will run into trouble. So, and when you run into trouble, you are not following. When you run into trouble on the account of speaking for me, I will now come and do what? And deliver you. It's a difficult thing to speak for God. Because God does not speak the way man speaks. Yeah. And there are many people that don't want God's suggestions in their life. They want their own way to flourish. And it will bring the perspective of God. It will look as if you are challenging them. And it might result to something you may not like. And God is saying, I'm aware of those complications, and I am with you to do what? To deliver you. Are you following? Okay. Alright. Verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth and said unto me, See, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. So that's what God does to a man that he wants to speak for him. He touches his mouth. Do you have the time for me to explain what it means for God to touch your mouth? He touched his mouth and said, See, I have put my words in your mouth. So, what's the meaning of that? Does it mean that everything that God wanted Jeremiah to speak, he put it in his mouth at once? Is that what it means? Let me show you what it means, then I'll round up. Even though this is not part of my script, I wasn't supposed to come this far. But one young man there pointed me, he just pointed me, and I believed that. I believed him. So I decided to All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 12 and 13. That's my last scripture. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13. Finally. What does it mean when God says, I have put my words in your mouth? And the way he achieved that was that he taught. 1 Corinthians 2, 13 and 14. Sorry, 12 and 13. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. What it means, I put my words in your mouth, is that I've given you vocabulary. See, when you hear from God, are you with me? When you hear from God, that's when you discover how much help you need to communicate what you heard. And God will need to help you by giving you vocabulary. For instance, if you attempt to teach the way I'm teaching now, and God doesn't give you vocabulary to do it, you cannot drive the revelation. Part of the reasons why I pray a lot before I teach is because I need utterance. Spirit energized communication to relate the heart of God to the heart of man. If you don't have it, you cannot drive revelation. And the way God was able to achieve that in the life of Jeremiah was that he did what? He touched his mouth. He gave him the vocabulary. And Jeremiah became the mouthpiece of God to speak the counsel of God, not just to Israel, but to the nations of the world. We are going to pray today. And the prayer is simple. May the Lord touch your mouth. Because God needs a mouthpiece in Botswana. So when you are laboring in the place of prayer, your receptacle now opens up. And then some knowings now come to you. Sometimes some visions come to you because the eyes of your spirit are open. And then you see through the Holy Ghost. It's a manifestation of a spiritual sense. When you have received, you will still need the help of God to give you vocabulary to communicate spiritual things in simple, plain language, as Jesus would have done if he were physically present talking to us. Can you see that? Can we pray? That the Lord, oh! See, one gate has opened. One gate has opened here. Want to pray in a moment and ask God, touch my lips so that I can become your mouthpiece. Can you make that your prayer in a moment of time? Touch my lips. Someone is not praying. God is looking for mouthpieces through which he can speak to kings. Kings of nations. Men through which he can address communities, families, individuals. Touch my tongue, O Holy Ghost. Zoniatis, Evroske, Tebolonde, Baboshike. Labro Mosticos Cantalia, Abama Sandeburia Cabelas. Yailoma Santo Brisco Fatabalantelia. Anda Lebro. Esposa Sana Vandele. Shamina Coria Sico Braskito Balamanda. Ayama Manamana Supria Lababo Shakala. Lesosela Brisco Falamanseli. Akai Locande La Boboria. Zaminande Comboro Sico Salabuga. Alantos Eseseli. Mouthpieces for nations, mouthpieces for men and women in despair. That impartation that makes me a mouthpiece for God is for me elando. Touch my tongue, touch my tongue, touch my tongue, oh Holy Ghost. Zeli monte mo prokosketa bila kanseliande. Yado sombre eskota bala musa katale. Someone is going to speak for God. He can touch your tongue right now. In the name of Jesus. All right, my own spiritual senses have been activated. My spiritual senses have been activated. So I already see a woman in our midst, a lady in our midst, that for 4 years now, God has commissioned this lady to be God's mouthpiece, but she has been walking perpetually in disobedience. And when God sends her, she doesn't go. And because of that, that grace is almost withdrawn from her. Almost withdrawn from her. But she's in this meeting today. And God wants to give her another opportunity. So the anointing is going to come upon that lady in the next 8 seconds. In the next 8 seconds. It's a way by which God is recommissioning her to be faithful in the assignment in the next 8 seconds. Father, from my left hand side to my right hand side to the back, help me find this lady. Find this lady. So, ushers, bring the lady here. Bring the lady. I speak the words that God spoke unto Jeremiah to you. As they spent you, so shall you speak. The same words that were given to Jeremiah. As they spent you, so shall you speak. Come. As they spent you. As they spent you. As he sends you, speak.
Overflow me.
As he sends you, speak for him.
Overflow me. Overflow me again. Overflow me.
As he moves you in the spirit.
Overflow me. Overflow me again. Overflow. Overflow me again.
He wants you to speak for him. Grace is released. Grace on your life. grace, grace, grace on your life in the name of Jesus. Overflow me, overflow me again, overflow me, overflow me again, overflow me, overflow me again. Can we sing that song to you? Overflow me, overflow me again, overflow me. Overflow me again. I'm waiting for you. Overflow me. Overflow me again. Overflow me. Overflow me again.
Overflow me. Overflow me again.
We ask, O God, that you overflow. And cause our receptacle to be activated, our spiritual senses to become viable, our perception in the spirit to become sharp. Overflow me,
overflow me, overflow me again.
Supersaito cumbre mazani.
Overflow me again.
I'm going to pray for the sick now. I'll give you a few instructions that you follow. Then I'll just pray. If you have a sick relative that is not in Gaborone, somewhere else, maybe in Lusaka, call the person now. Keep your phone running while I pray. And the Lord will move through your phone and touch the people anywhere they are in the world. And as I speak, you don't need to believe what I'm saying. It will still happen. Overflow me. Overflow me again. Overflow me. Overflow me again. Overflow me, overflow me again. Overflow me, overflow me again.
Overflow me.
All right. Second instruction. If your case is a hearing problem, use this finger, put it in the ear that cannot hear, and block it completely. Third instruction, if your case is a sight problem, remove your glasses, put it somewhere else, lay your hands on your eyes. If your case is a tumor, a cancer, or a fibroid, put your hand where the tumor is. Put your hand where you can feel the fibroid. Put your hand where you can feel the cancer. If yours is a blood condition, hepatitis, HIV, put your hand on your chest as you believe him for a miracle. And when we are done, go back to the lab and conduct a test. If you were born with a wrong genotype, maybe you are sick, you are a sickler, SS, and you are trusting God for that genotype to change. We have seen it everywhere in the world, including England. And they took they had to arrest the person and refer the person to Oxford so that they can do more. But it was verified. The doctors that don't believe God were compelled to write a statement that a human being's genotype changed. Just in case you are SS and you want a change of genotype. Just as we pray, the environment for healing will open up. Right? Anything can happen in that environment. Jesus Christ.
Overflow me again.
Put your hand where the pain is.
Overflow.
If there is someone that cannot walk, maybe online, you can't walk, you're crippled, put your hand on your legs.
Overflow.
Alright, put your hand on your legs in a moment. The healing anointing is present now. Heart conditions, high blood pressure.
Overflow.
Pains of diverse kinds will begin to go. If I say in the name of Jesus, say a big amen. In the name of Jesus. 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 Father, this morning I take authority over every injury, every sickness, every disease, every affliction, anything that the devil has thrown on your people, I reject it in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind every blinding spirit. Blinding spirits be bound in the name of Jesus. I bind every deafening spirit. Deafening spirits be bound in the name of Jesus. I bind every pain. I command the pains to go in the name of Jesus. I bind every growth, every tumor, every cancer, and I command you be dissolved in the name of Jesus Christ. Those that are connecting through the phone, I send the healing power of God your way in the name of Jesus Christ. Those that are connecting online, I break that yoke of sickness over your life in the name of Jesus. Deafening spirits be bound in Jesus' name. Oh, I see that pain around the abdomen, and I neutralize that pain right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Pains on the legs be dissolved in the name of Jesus Christ. Pains on the back be dissolved in the name of Jesus Christ. Pains on the eyeballs go in Jesus' name. Those that are connected on the phone that are bedridden, sentenced to death already, I say to you, rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Now I command those eyes, see in the name of Jesus. I command the ears, hear in the name of Jesus. I command the pain, go in the name of Jesus. I say tumor, dissolve, fibroid, dissolve, cancer, die in the name of Jesus. Oh yes, it's breaking now. It's breaking. There's somebody's womb that is tied. I command that womb open in the name of Jesus. I say open in the name of Jesus. Thank you. You can conduct a test, your own personal test now, on your eyes, your ears. Look for the tumor, look for the pain. If you notice there is a change, there is a difference, you come towards my left hand here. Conduct your independent research on your condition. If you couldn't read without glasses before, I challenge you to attempt reading. Conduct your test. And if you call somebody on the phone, please talk to the person now and find out the condition. You have 2 minutes to conduct your test. Two minutes. A comprehensive test. Comprehensive test in 2 minutes. If you have confirmed the change, this is where you will stand. Where I am standing here. you confirm the change, you stand here. Yeah, let's sing that song now.
Shines on me, shines on me.
There is an usher that was helping me with testimonies yesterday. Where are you?
Yeah, yeah.
So get a microphone.
Shines on me. Shines on me.
Can you do me a favor? Just sit down. Just be seated.
Is your grace.
If you confirm yours, you can stand up from your seat and you come this way.
Shines on me.
Like I said,
shines on
the miracles will continue even till very late today. Alright, so to continue.
Shines on me.
Check.
Shines on me. Is your grace.
Shines on me.
Shines on me. Your grace shines on me.
Yes, what happened to this lady? Oh, you don't have a microphone.
Your grace, Lord, your grace, and nothing without you.
Our sister here.
Wait. I see a linen garment descending from heaven. And this linen garment, I've seen it before. It speaks of the presence of God. There is someone in this auditorium. God wants you to be a carrier of His presence. The next 5 seconds, you'll be enveloped with God's presence. So intense. It will be so intense. So intense. So intense. You'll be enveloped. Enveloped. It's even coming stronger. It's coming stronger. Yet stronger. Yet stronger. Yet stronger. Yet stronger. Yet stronger. Yes, go on.
Our sister here is saying since 21 after giving birth.
Since
2021 after giving birth.
2021 after giving birth.
She has been having a pain on her hip.
She has been having a pain on her hip.
Right now she cannot feel it. The pain is gone.
The pain has left. You know, I told you something yesterday that there's a way we check if the healing has been accomplished. You just lay your hands on the person. And then you can verify. Okay, this one has been healed. Now listen, it won't come back, okay? So don't be afraid. It won't come back. There is a case I'm looking for. It's an eye condition. There's a miracle on someone's eyes. That I'm looking for the person. I don't know if the person is here. There's a miracle on someone's eyes. I see that in the spirit. And it's very, very likely that the person is still in the congregation. And I'm waiting for you to come here. Eyes. Yep, go on.
As a side effect of blood pressure.
Side effect of blood pressure.
She has been having pain on her knees.
Pain on her knees.
Since 2011.
2011.
But today the pain is gone.
She cannot sense the pain. Okay. Now, we'll just run a quick test on her. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for perfection. Yes, please, please. Go. It's coming. I am looking for that person that has received an eye miracle that is still hiding in the congregation. There's an eye miracle. The person is still hiding, and I'm waiting for the person. You have an eye miracle? I will test because from what I sense here, the person is still in the congregation. The angel is touching me. That is not you. Eye miracle in the congregation. Okay. That's my friend from Kenya. Oh, yeah! You see, I was on the plane with this guy. And we had a little fellowship. And he had these spectacles on. It was fitting on him anyway. So I did not suspect it was medicated. But my friend is here. This title is from Kenya. Now, so Titus, tell us your story.
My vision has been very blurred. Like when I look at something, it's not clear. When I look at those pictures, for example, they were not clear. But now I can see clearly.
You can see. So this is my friend from Kenya. I want to bless you. You can lay hold on this. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Okay, I see the Lord giving unto you the spirit of wisdom. You will know what to do and how to get it done. Grace comes upon you in the name of Jesus. Yes, it is done.
Our Father here is saying, for 2 years he couldn't read without glasses.
He also has a pair of spectacles, couldn't read without glasses. So what happened to you?
But today he can read without any glasses.
So I have a question for him. Did you feel anything before you noticed you could see?
Yeah, actually, I just felt that it was like the pain was coming from the eyes when I'm touching on my eyes.
So that's those testimonies are required so that you understand how the healing anointing functions. Sometimes the person can feel pain on the eyes, but the pain is a healing pain. And when the pain goes down, the sight is restored. Can we celebrate Jesus? Yes, it is permanent. It is permanent in the name of Jesus. Your grace. Now listen. What I see two trumpets in the spirit. I see two trumpets. And that means that there are two people in the congregation that God is going to give the gift of prophecy. Two people. You don't need to believe it. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, from my right hand side to my left hand side to the back of the hall, those two individuals that you want to give the gift of prophecy, can you be so kind as to put your hand upon them? Just put your hand upon them. Put your hand upon them. And let your hand come stronger. Let your hand come stronger. Let your hand come so strong so that this gift can be released. So that this gift can... Okay, it's coming. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. Holy Ghost! So those ones have received... Still coming. Still coming. Your grace shines on me. Oh. You come.
Shines on
come.
Me.
Yeah.
Is your grace. Lord, your grace. Your grace. I'm nothing without.
Best in you.
Your grace shines on me. Oh, your grace, Lord, your grace.
I release the blessings of the Lord upon you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. From this day, the visitations of God will begin in your life. And you will see the Lord come close to you, come near to you, and whisper his counsel into your ears. Receive the anointing to see and to hear in the Spirit.
Your grace. Shines on me, shines on me. Is your grace.
Yes, what happened to mommy?
Since 2014.
She's been using this hearing aid. Where is the cameraman? Can you film this? This is hearing aid that mommy has been using. So for how long has she been using this?
Since 2014.
2014.
She couldn't hear.
Couldn't hear.
But today she can hear us very clearly.
So mommy can hear now. Now, I need to say something quickly, that healing is not synonymous with shouting. No. The healing anointing is different from shout. It can be walking. Oh, you see, even more people are getting healed now. It's like a river. Anything it touches, it makes alive. And it can keep flowing. It can keep flowing, just flowing. So, Mom, did you feel anything while we prayed? Did you feel anything? You just noticed that you could hear.
I could hear better, yes.
Can we celebrate Jesus? Yeah, you are here. Go. It's permanent. Yes?
For her, she couldn't walk without using her glasses.
Couldn't walk.
Something fell out of this eye yesterday when you were ministering.
Something fell out of the eye.
You said, test your eyes. Yesterday it was very bright. It gave me a headache. Today after prayer, when I look at the board without my glasses, I was in the middle of the hall. I can see it. I walked all the way from those speakers to here without my glasses.
Can we take a moment and just celebrate Jesus? Just.
Is the atmosphere.
Now, there's a song that my brother Theophilus wrote. I'd like us to sing it just twice. It's very simple.
In the atmosphere of Jesus, atmosphere of Jesus, atmosphere of Jesus, there's an atmosphere. When nothing is impossible, no disease incurable, there's an atmosphere. There's an atmosphere. When nothing is impossible, no disease incurable, there's an atmosphere. In the atmosphere of Jesus, atmosphere of Jesus, atmosphere of Jesus.
Praise.
In the atmosphere of Jesus.
Yeah, your healing is coming.
Atmosphere.
Coming, coming, coming.
Atmosphere of Jesus.
Our brother here is saying he has been having chest pains. And last night it was extremely painful that he couldn't breathe. But today the pain is gone.
You can't feel the pain anymore? Yeah, breathe, breathe in, out. In.
There's no pain.
There's no pain. Can we? Somebody shout hallelujah to Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. Yeah. Someone healed on the. There's a pain that is related to the spinal cord. There's a pain related to the spinal cord in the heart of the person's back. And what I see in the spirit is that the person is healed. So you can check. Check your. Check. Check it now. Check it. Meanwhile, don't be in a hurry to go. I came loaded with anointing that I want to release. I want to release it. So you are entitled to a portion. Alright? Yes, an entitlement. And if you don't receive it, if I go back, I will not be able to sleep. So help me and receive the anointing. Huh? Alright. I'm willing to release all. Yes.
For about a month now, I've been having gastric refluxes and stomach pains. Went to some clinics. The medication didn't work. But just when I was sitting there while you said your prayer, I felt some oozing pain for about 30 seconds. Then, in a flash, it was calm. Now I'm okay.
All right, so that experience he explained is what happens when the power of God is sometimes it's like fire. Sometimes it's as cold as ice, and sometimes it comes like pain. Right? So, the power of God just displaced the demon that was responsible for that situation. So let us find out if the process has been accomplished. Lord, we give you praise. Okay, it's accomplished. Go. It won't come back. Yes?
I've been having a condition in my right ear. The doctor said it's uncommon for my age. They said mostly it's for old women around 70. But now when I put my finger, this week it has been like there's water and a lot of vacuum. I couldn't hear. So I put my finger, and when I removed it, it's like something was plugged off. Now I can hear well.
All right. Say amen to the Lord Jesus. We give you praise. So like her own now, the healing is not complete. So the healing process is still on. Okay? You know, Jesus taught me a little about the healing and anointing. So I'm just releasing the anointing there. Wait, I want you to learn. Don't clap. Learn. I'm doing it in slow motion so that you will learn and go back to Francis Town and do what you see me doing. I want the feedback from you. Yes.
Jesus,
yes, so she's almost completely healed now. She's almost. It's remaining just a little.
Jesus.
And it will never come back again. Now, I want to release a gift, a spiritual gift on your life. What will we give her?
Jesus.
Okay, you two, you move in healing. Healing. Lord, release the healing anointing. Release it upon her. From the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. In the name of
Jesus.
Yes, what happened there?
Since birth, it was difficult for her to hear.
She couldn't hear since birth?
Four operations were done and nothing changed.
Four operations were done, nothing changed.
But today she can hear us here.
She can hear clearly. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody needs to shout hallelujah because of it.
She's
weeping.
Jesus.
Lord, thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's coming.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus. Oh Jesus.
Yeah, what happened there?
I've got an eye condition. Since the 90s when I was in secondary school, they were itching and now they were getting worse. I just got some medication. But when you were preaching, the left eye started piercing like a lightning bolt is piercing me. And when you call for that prayer, that piercing pain just went down. So right now I can see the things which I could not see. There's no small letter.
You can see.
Jesus.
Yes. You see, I saw the blinding spirit still trying.
Jesus,
Now, yeah, now it's permanent now. Somebody shout hallelujah. It's permanent. It will not come back again. And your eyes are good. God bless you.
Our sister here is saying, as the aftermath of heart problem, she was numb on her right part. So
that half of her body,
yes, has been numb, and she has been
no
pain.
There's no feeling.
No, there's a lot of change.
There's a lot of change.
Even stop. I've been pressing throughout.
See,
even here.
The spirit of paralysis just left her. The spirit of paralysis has gone completely. Somebody give Jesus a big hand.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus.
You are released.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Yes, what happened?
Since 2017, after the eye operation, she has been having pain. But today, the pain is normal.
After the eye operation, she's been having pain, and today, she couldn't.
But I was trying to practice to read those words. Since we are calling that there is someone is starting to come out. I was expecting, I want to make sure that God has healed me. And to finally, I managed to read the small words.
She can read the small words now. The eyes are healed.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Savior.
So her healing is still,
Savior,
yeah, still in the process.
Savior, Savior, Savior. Savior, Savior, Savior.
Oh,
mm.
Yeah, she's healed now.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Our mother here is saying she has been having excruciating pain on her stomach. Now today the pain is no more.
Come,
and she
come,
is
come.
Believing the Lord for a job in Zambia.
Father, in the name of Jesus, grant her favor to get that job. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Where is the brother that I identified from Zambia? Come. What do you want? You don't want money? You don't want? No, 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 no. Choose one thing. What do you want? One.
Jesus, Jesus,
and what? If you want this anointing I have, or you want money, you want this anointing.
Jesus,
this anointing will bring money.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
What's your name?
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Okay. Yes, approved. Father.
In the atmosphere of Jesus.
Let the sweet healing anointing rest on him. Okay, go. It's done. Yeah?
So our brother here is saying he suffered from stroke.
Suffered from stroke?
So the right hand, the left hand, he was experiencing pain.
Okay.
So the pain is no more.
The pain is no more.
But he also has, he cannot see, even right now.
His two eyes.
Yes.
So you're blind now?
I'm blind. Since 2009. It's been 14 years now.
Okay. You see, the Lord that dealt with the paralysis. See, his hands.
Yes.
See, the paralysis is gone. So can we ask him to deal with the blindness?
Amen.
Can you stretch your hand and ask God, deal with the blindness?
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
House here, Bahama. In the name of Jesus. Father, we bind every blinding spirit. Be bound. Come out of the eyes. In the name of Jesus Christ, be bound. Come out of the eyes. Come out of the eyes. In the name of Jesus Christ, let the eyes go. Now we speak to the eyes in the name of Jesus. Begin to see. Begin to perceive light. Begin to see in the name of Jesus. See! I'm doing something. Can you see it?
No, sir.
You can't see it at all.
Yeah, I can't see, but I can feel the heat in my head.
I am waving something before your eyes. Can you see?
No, sir.
You can't see what I'm waving. Okay. Where are you? Take him outside. Wash his hands.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes, I have been
heavy. I'll soon be done. Then I release your portion. Yes?
Ever since I came to the conference on Friday,
yeah,
I've been having a movement on the left side.
Movement on your left side.
Yes, whenever I pray, it will just move.
It will move.
Yes, but when you pray for us, something just...
Something came out of your body.
Yes, and I have been having a fibroid on this
side. Fibroid on this side.
Yes, and it was making the kidney to be small. And then
yes.
I have no order to go and do air.
Uh-huh.
So I believe God for healing instead of operation.
So the fibroid will begin to shrink, and we can verify it with a scan of the size. Yeah. So she's in Jesus Clinic, the physician himself. I'm a nurse in Jesus Clinic. I help out, you know. But the physician is the one doing this. Yeah. No need for surgery. No need for surgery. Yes, what happened to you?
So for almost a year I've been having echoes in my ear.
What's that?
Echo.
Echoes in your ears. Okay.
So there's no
can you come to the front? Don't, you know, I don't want anybody to be injured, so don't put anybody here.
Uh-huh. There's no medical diagnosis that was done, but my research was showing that it's my heartbeat on my ear.
Your heartbeat on your ear?
Yes, which could be connected to a heart condition. So I was yet to go and confirm it. Yes.
So you still hear the heartbeat?
No. So since Friday, I've been observing. It usually happens at night when I'm trying to sleep. It pounds on my ear. So for the past 2 days, even now...
So she's been observing since Friday. The thing stopped, but she's still running her checks. And it took 2 days for her to conclude that there is a change.
It's very severe in the night, so I wanted to observe in the night.
Oh, my God. You see, are you a healed? Yes. Go, it won't come back. I'm doing something before your eyes now. I don't know if you are seeing what I'm doing.
No, sir.
You can. Okay. Sit down. Maybe somewhere, maybe on my seat. I'll come to you. Put him there. Put him on my seat. Yes, quickly. We'll take three more, quickly. Yes, what? Not here.
Yes, from June last year, Steve. I had a spinal.
Somebody can come here and fall down, and then we'll have a problem. So, why not? Yes, you had a spinal what?
A spinal, it just fixed when I was working to a point where for 3 days that time I could not walk or do anything.
Okay.
And then since then I could not bend to a certain level.
Couldn't bend?
So when you say the spinal...
Yes, the spinal cord, I saw it in the spirit.
Yes. And I felt the pain left.
You felt that the
it
pain left?
It's been painful, like where I can touch and feel the pain.
But you could, you can no longer find the pain.
I went outside to bend for a long time.
All right, so this is... Sometimes the Lord shows the miracles like a screen. So that's what happened in that case. And when he shows it, don't be afraid. The miracle is there. Okay? Say it. Say it and it will happen. So you can bend. Bend the way you... Okay, she can bend now. Yeah, it's true. You are free. Second.
Yes, sir. I just got healed of a spinal cord. It has been 3 years. Every time before I sleep or at work, I'll have to take painkillers.
Painkillers. So what happened? Did you feel anything on your body?
Like... When I was just sitting down, I just felt the pain just like, pow,
pop.
Then, that's how I was healed.
Yeah, indeed, you are here. And it's permanent, okay? It won't come back. Hey! If you people obeyed me when I said you should do phone call stuff, there are some people that should have registered some phone call miracles now. If you obeyed, that is if. What?
Jesus. Mm-hmm. My elder brother, he has been mentally stable for more than 20 years.
Okay.
So I believe God that the touch will come upon him as we are praying. So I just need God to...
Did you call him?
He's not in a state to answer phones. He stays in the streets of Abrono.
What's his name?
Karabo.
Can we pray in tongues for 2 minutes? Just 2 minutes. Jesus. 2 minutes. I shall sell Amin. Rascopa la mos, abreto cocelami. So we send the healing power of God, using him as a point of contact. Let the power that will go to your brothers come upon you. Come upon you so strong. In the name of Jesus, we cut off that spirit of insanity.
Yeah. I've been having pain in my vocals due to ulcers to down my epigastric.
Okay.
Yeah.
For how long?
For since November.
So what happened now?
I'm healed. I saw. I'm okay.
You don't feel the pains anymore.
Yes.
Okay. Glory to God. Yeah, you are healed. Yes. What's wrong with this lady? No, you need to run a test before we know. So go, I pray. Run a test, and then let's have evidence. Because you can't prove that she's healed. I can't prove it. So we need a test to help us. Okay? Finally, I want to release what I have. No, you don't need to stand up. Don't worry. Now, those of you here to the half, so you just raise your right hand. Father, anyone whose heart is open, release the anointing on that one. Release the anointing on that one. Release the anointing. Let it come strong. 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 Release the anointing. 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 Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Move. Of you here, those of you here, Father, I'm looking for four of you. The anointing will come on four of you to come strong, to come strong, to come strong. Holy Ghost, it will come strong. Holy Ghost, 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 Holy Ghost. People on this road. The Lord wants to surprise you. He wants to bring about a dramatic change in your life in the next 6 months. Dramatic. I mean dramatic. An anointing will accomplish that. Okay? So those three people in the first half of the hall here, the anointing will come on you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, oh God, let the anointing descend on those three individuals. And let it come strong. 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 So it's coming now. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Let it come stronger. 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 Let it be strong. Let it be strong. Let it be strong. Let it be strong. Holy Ghost. So that there will be a turnaround. So that there will be a change. A transformation. I think Asali. The Lord comes to visit your family. He comes to visit you. He comes to bring about a transformation. So grace. 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 Grace comes upon you. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, what happened there?
Jesus. Our mother here is saying for a week.
Yeah.
She has been having pain on her waist.
On her waist.
But right now the pain is gone.
Pains on your waist?
Yes, it's gone now.
For how long?
A full week.
A full week? But you tested it and it's gone?
Yes.
Okay, she's okay. See what happens in 3 days. Huh?
Hallelujah.
Yes, what happens?
God bless you.
Please listen, yeah.
As you started praying for, you said, anyone who has a sick person at home or wherever. I started sending a message to the people that I've been praying for. The first one is hospitalized. This kid has been hospitalized for almost 2 months now. So immediately the mother sent me a message that your daughter Bame is now better. Let me send you the picture. This is now at Marina. This is how she is right now.
Now, I think the camera people can pick it out. This is the first one. All right. And then this is what it is now. Hey.
I'm no bigger than a morning.
There are two prophets. The Lord will find them. So from that place here, two prophets. Lord, show me the two prophets. Anoint the two prophets. Anoint them. Holy Ghost. I'm looking for somebody on this road. There's somebody on this road I'm looking for. The hand of God will be strong on you. To be strong. To be stronger. Stronger. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. The grace multiplies on your life. Can you come to the front? Yeah.
And the doctors could not quite diagnose if it was what it was.
Okay.
This week on Thursday, it testified that I could not do anything.
They say
I went to the hospital. They gave me an injection. Friday I was booked for a scan. I was returned. They say that it's not serious for me to get a scan, so I was rescheduled to next week. And then yesterday during the service, the pain intensified that I could not take it, and I started crying. And then I came to this side.
And then after that, after the CV, stuff started coming out of me. And then 2 days I was
stop.
Like sort of clots, blood was coming.
It was coming out.
Yes. And then today, as I was during the CV and I was being prayed for here, I can feel a movement now and I believe that. But I'm yet to go for a scan on the first
one. Okay, don't worry. Let's ask Jesus.
Jesus, take your place.
Let this demon of darkness hiding beyond the sight of the scan lose your grip now. Go now. Let her go.
Oh, take your place. Take your place.
Okay. So it's come. You will help me because I can only lay hands on the lady's head. Alright?
Take your place.
Put it there. Speak in tongues.
Take your place.
Yeah, so. Yeah, continue.
Take your place.
In response to the prophetic instruction.
It's a demon. I don't want to explain more, but she'll be fine, okay?
In response to the prophetic instruction,
yeah,
she called her mom who has been having pains.
She called her mom. Where's her mom?
She's at the cattle post.
Where?
She's at the cattle post in the village.
Okay, in the village.
Yes.
Okay.
So when you prayed, she felt the pain going away from her. Right now, the mother can feel no pain anymore.
Now, where's that place, the cattle post? Where?
She's in Mahalabe at the cattle post.
Now, where is Mahalabe?
200 kilometers away from Hebron.
So the Lord posted a miracle from here to Mahalabe. And your mom is healed there. You know, I told you, call people, but you refuse.
Take your place, Lord.
Yeah.
Take your place.
You see, I finished ministering, but there's an anointing on my hand. You can receive it. If your heart is open, it will drop on you so that I can sleep. Lord, is there anyone whose heart is open? Transfer this anointing so that I can be relieved. Transfer this anointing. Transfer this anointing. Transfer this anointing. It's coming. Somebody's connecting now. Somebody's connecting already. Transfer it, Lord. Transfer it in the name of Jesus. Let her go. Release her. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brother. Even as we shut down this meeting, as he proceeds home, let the miracle working hand of your spirit surprise him. In Jesus' name. Mm-hmm.